And that song is so true. And that is why the main thing of what we do when we come together is to read the Word of God and study it. It is God's Word that changes our lives, transforms our lives. So let's look again at James chapter 1 and verse 12. We've been talking about trials the last few Sundays. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good, perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Once again, I have up here on the screen a quote from C.S. Lewis, and he said, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. There's a context that God has put us in life, where we have a couple different things going on. One of them are trials, and the other one is temptation. This word that we have translated temptation in verse 12 can really go either way. So our subject matter today is really for both of those things, not one or the other. God does not tempt us, the scripture says, yet he allows us to be tempted. The Lord could have done away with our arch enemy many years ago, but he did not do that and won't do that permanently until the end of the millennium. There's a reason for that. God always has his heavenly, divine purpose in what he does, even in allowing temptation to occur in our lives, as well in the area of trials and the difficulties that we have to be encumbered with in our lives. When the trial or test comes, we are told in verse 12 to do something. I had a picture up here from a couple weeks ago, and it really says a lot, I think, in athletics and competition and paying the price and having to endure in order to win a prize. You're wanting to win the race. You're wanting to be rewarded for your efforts. Well, the Bible says that that we have need of something. How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you want God's blessing upon your life? Well, everybody would say yes, right? Well, if that's the case, if you pay attention to verse 12, if you want to be blessed by God, then you are in need of something. And what you're in need of is endurance. And there's only two ways you're going to get endurance, and that's either having to deal with temptation and resist it, or trials and endure it. Either way, you're going to have to endure. And endurance is something that God has called upon us, but he gives us a blessing for doing it. So really, a title might be for our message today, Practical Stuff. God gives us practical stuff to live our Christian life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, God says you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God also says to Timothy, but you be watchful in all things and endure afflictions. James says later on in this epistle in chapter 5, indeed we count them blessed who endure. He says, remember Job and his perseverance and the end intended by the Lord, because God allowed all those things to happen to Job. Why? Because the Lord had a great purpose, an eternal purpose in Job's life, not just one that was temporary in this life. In Hebrews chapter 12, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us with endurance run the race that's set before us. In Hebrews chapter 12, also Jesus endured the cross. Jesus endured hostility from sinners. And in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus endured temptation in the wilderness. And so the Father wants us to be like His Son. And as His Son, being like His Son, we will become pleasing to the Father. Well, what kind of stuff are we having to deal with? The context of our lives. When we have to talk about temptation and we talk about trials, I just listed a few things that we have to deal with. And many of these things we deal with on a daily basis. Let's talk about temptation. We are tempted to eat too much. I put that number one on the list. Since this is First Baptist Church of Floresville, Texas. We are tempted to eat too much, to sleep too much, to lust and have unclean thoughts, to be greedy, to be angry and have our tempers flare, to be full of pride and always be the center of attention, to be boastful, to be lazy, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to hoard one's money, to give in to the desires of the flesh, to covet, to have idols, malice, blasphemy, use bad language, to not attend church, to not love our wives, to not submit to our husbands or our parents or those who lead us in government or school or at work, to be so shy that we won't share the gospel, the good news, with lost people, to be afraid, we're tempted to be afraid to share the good news, to hang around the wrong crowd, to be impatient, to be jealous, to bestow pity upon ourselves and say, woe is me, to hate, to not forgive those who have transgressed against us, to have selfish ambition, and to always want more. Those are just a few that I listed. In the context that you live in and that I live in. On top of all that, we have trials. Every day we have to endure things that cause us to have to swim upstream. These things can be physical, they can be emotional, they can be spiritual, work-related, home-related, marriage-related, and children-related, and parents-related. We even have to endure sermons. And God calls upon us in verse 12 to endure all this stuff. How you doing? 0 to 10. 10 doing great, 0 doing pretty bad. Where are you? -1? It's interesting, this to me, you know, being just, when you got to teach this stuff, you know, you can't just listen. You got to teach it. You become an observer of human personality, use some behavior and the and just life. And I'm thinking this is a really interesting laboratory here that God has put us in. Why has he done all that? Why didn't he just save you, kill you, and take you to heaven? No, he didn't do that. Why didn't he just take the devil out of your life so you wouldn't have to deal with temptation? Why didn't he just make everything like the Garden of Eden so we don't have to work anymore? If you're a man, and if you're a woman, what? When you have children, it's just a piece of cake. But that ain't the case, is it, ladies? And there's a lot of thorns and thistles out there. Why did God do all that? Oh, man, that's a lot of temptation. A lot of angles to that. A lot of trials. Jesus said, watch and pray in Matthew 26, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is it possible for the Christian to not yield to temptation? Is it possible for the Christian to endure the trials that comes into his or her life? Absolutely. But how do you do that? What does that look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. What that means is there's no uniqueness out here. We're all in the same boat. We're all dealing with the same stuff, okay? But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That verse is in part and parcel for you and I to become humble. Because what God is saying there is, if I were to let you get tempted to a certain degree, you would give in. That's what he said there. You need me. That's what God is saying. You need me in order to live the kind of life that I want you to live, in order to resist temptation and endure the trials of life. God has a purpose for our life, and that purpose is not just for the here and now. This verse in verse 12 is a verse that you really want to target. I think it's one of the most important verses in the New Testament. You really want to memorize it. You really want to have it down. You really want to consider it and use it and keep it in your hip pocket all day long. Now, James tells us in verse 12 to endure. Does that mean grit your teeth? Does that mean hold your breath? Well, certainly to endure means to persevere. It means to be steadfast. But now remember, the name of Jesus means he will deliver, he will save his people from their sins. Where does our help come from? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Since the Lord Jesus came down to earth as the God-man and was tempted and never gave in, he's able to help us. That's what the text says. The temptation that you're having to resist, he is available in your life to aid you, to help you, so that you can resist, as well as the trials in your life. Hebrews chapter 4, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he was perfect in every way, and he is in the perfect place now because of who he is and what he's done to help us so that we can become pleasing to the Father. So we know that we are to endure. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So what do we need to do? What are some practical steps that we need in order to become pleasing to the Father, to be able to resist temptation and to be endure the trials that come our way? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. Now, why would you come to the throne of grace? What are you doing there when you come? Here's the first thing you want to do. First thing you want to do is you got to recognize, not gotta, but you need to recognize that this is a temptation or trial, okay? Once the meter goes off and you recognize that, the second thing you want to do is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. You want to go to the throne, and you don't want to be shy, you don't want to be timid. Bold means run up there, okay? That's what that means. As soon as you recognize the temptation or the trial, run up to the throne of grace as fast as you can get there. And what are you going to do there at the throne? You're going to ask. That's what you're going to do. You're going to ask for what? You're going to ask for help, right? Jesus has already been there, done that, and done it perfectly. And of course, he was tempted to the fullest limit. You and I, we've never even been close. I mean, we really have a great high priest who is in a great position to help us be successful, resisting temptation and enduring affliction. But see, most Christians, they're just trying to do it on their own. That's a prideful way to do it. You see, when you go to the throne and you ask, you're saying, God, I can't do it in and of myself. I need you. I'm dependent upon you. That's called humility. That's what God honors. That's what God's after. He'll respond to that. So when we go to the throne, I'm asking. Here's the way I ask. I'm trusting you, Lord Jesus, to give me the grace that I need to resist this temptation, to resist fill in the blank. I'm trusting you to give me the grace. Now remember, when you got saved, you became justified before the Lord. In other words, you received grace to be justified so that you could stand before the God because God graciously delivered you from the penalty of sin. Now someday, you're going to experience a different kind of grace. The same source, different process, and that's called glorifying grace. That's when you die. You haven't received any of that yet. You haven't experienced any of that yet. But when you die, God is going to give you grace that will deliver you from the presence of sin. He hasn't done that yet. You still live in the presence of sin. You've been delivered from the penalty of sin, someday the presence of sin, but right now you got to deal with the power of sin. That's what Hebrews 4:16 is talking about when it says grace. Run as fast as you can to the throne of grace. What kind of grace? The grace that God gives to deliver you from the power of sin. That's called sanctification, so just a big word for that. You need that kind of grace in your life. How do you get it? You go to the throne. What do you go to the throne for? Throne for, to ask. And in your asking, since you can't please God but through faith, your asking is in the form of trusting. Lord Jesus, I recognize this is something that is wanting to draw me away from you, draw me away from living for you, draw me away from pleasing you. And so I'm trusting you to give me the grace to resist it and to endure by following you. And the same thing would be with a trial. So God says, even in James chapter 4 and verse 6, that he gives more grace. So we resist temptation and we endure trials. Now, so here we have this context of life, and this is what's interesting to me. Because over here we have temptation that we have to deal with, and over here we have trials we have to deal with, right? And we just listed a bunch of those things. And then here you are. You got one Cyclops here, and maybe you're that right now, right? Give you some curly hair. And so that's not God's plan for your life, you know. He wants you over here, here, right? He wants you here doing this in the midst of this. See, when you go before God's throne and you trust Him to give you what you need to resist the temptation or to endure the trial, well, does it all just dissipate at that point? Does all your trouble just go away at that point? No, it's right there. It's just like it's always been. It didn't go anywhere unless, you know, you're in like the Gospels and, you know, the Lord Jesus decided to heal you right there on the spot. I mean, yeah, God does that. But most of the time, it's not like that. I mean, the Apostle Paul said, Lord, I'm really tired of this problem that I got, whatever it is, and it is like a burr in my saddle. Would you please take it away? And he asked the Lord three times, and God said, no, I ain't taking it away. It's exactly what you need. Now, that's this place right here we're talking about. Why does God allow you to live in all of that? Why didn't he just make it kind of friendly? Why do we have to swim upstream all the time? Now, go back to this scripture in James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. I'm telling you, you need to hold on to this verse permanently. You need to really pay attention right here. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people said, I ain't going back to church. That's it. I'm done. And not just my church. I have friends go to other churches and they got Crossways. That's it. I'm out. What happened? Did they do chapter 1, verse 12? No. They decided it wasn't worth it. That's what they decided when they checked out, man. Sometimes people are married and, you know, they get Crossways and trouble and they check out, man. That's it. That's not verse 12. You know what they said? They said, it's not worth it. Now, listen. Why are you going to want to do all this stuff right here? Why are you going to want to do all that? Why are you going to want to continue to swim upstream? Now, here's one of the things that God did. He did a couple things here. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who what? Who love him. You know what he did here? You know why the devil's still here? You know why you have all this trouble in your body? Some of you got some of that? You know why you have some of this heavenly sandpaper sitting next to you called your husband or your wife? Because God is giving you an opportunity to express your love to Him. Now that's a beautiful deal, man. I mean, if everything was peachy all the time, we don't know if you love God or not. But you know, when your wife says, I don't really like you today, and you say, I understand, but I love you and I like you, and you look just as beautiful as you did 50 years ago when I married you. That's an expression of love. But when you say, well, I'm going to treat you the way you treat me, you throw a rock at me, I'm going to throw that. How do we know you love God when you do that? Jesus said anybody can love those that love them. Tax collectors can do that. But when you can love your enemies, when you can love people who are not nice to you, then we're finding out where the rubber really meets the road in your faith. I'm telling you, whatever circumstance or situation, and it's all different here, you got a great opportunity to express love to God, your God. Now, he didn't stop there. Because the Lord, he says, I'm just going to give you an extra dose of motivation. Okay? Now watch this. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. That's the here and now. The temptation is right now. But not the blessing. The trials are right now, but not the blessing. Watch what he says here. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When are you going to get the crown of life? That's in heaven. This is future tense. You know what he's saying? He's saying, guys, I want you to look forward. Could you look past tomorrow? Could you look past next week? No matter what you're going through, no matter what the trial, no matter what the temptation, could you look a little bit further? Maybe a year down the road, maybe how about to the next life? This is a promise for the future, for what you do in the present. That's the context of this verse. You remember, I remember it often, the little video that I had for you that day when the house was burning up, the two-story house was just engulfed in flames. Black smoke, orange fire. The fire department was there, and they were in the back of the house on the second story window, and just black, thick smoke coming out of that second window, story window. And the fireman was saying, jump, 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 because there was a lady there, a mama there, and she had one of her kids, and the mama was extremely large lady. And she was struggling, and finally she got her child and fell out, and they caught her child. And the things just lapping up, man, in fire. It's just almost gone. And they said, jump, 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 please. And she was so large, she was struggling to get through the window. But finally she fell out, and so awkwardly, she just flopped like a baby whale or something. But they caught her. And I said, you now have a picture of what it's going to look like for a boatload of Christians that go to heaven. The only thing they're going to have when they get there is clothes that smell like smoke. You know, in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says the 24 elders fall down before their, here's that word again, the throne of God. And when they fall down, they take the crown. See this, didn't he talk about a crown? This is one of the five crowns, the crown of life. This crown is about enduring. This crown is about resisting temptation. It's about enduring the trials of life, the thorns and the thistles. It's about going upstream. Those 24 elders, the Bible says, will fall down before the throne of God. And we'll all throw down. We'll all fall down. I mean, everybody in heaven is going to fall down. But when they fell down, they took the crowns off of their heads and they threw them down at the feet of Jesus. There'll be many Christians who have nothing to throw. They'll have nothing to give, except the smell of smoke on their clothes. Because when it came to resisting temptation, they just said, it ain't worth it. When it came to enduring the trials of life, they just said, it ain't worth it. That's what verse 12 is about. God is saying, don't let that happen to you. You see, because if you'll resist temptation, if you'll endure the trials in this life, I've got a promise for you in the next, and that one will be forever. So here's what we're saying. Teenager, everybody else may be going to hell in a handbasket, and you may have to stand alone. I'm saying it's worth it. Choose to endure, Maybe your spouse is not being nice to you. Choose to endure. And maybe your preacher just goes on forever. There's a crown waiting for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for opening your word up to us today. Fanny Crosby, who endured the stress of blindness for a lifetime, said, "Great things he hath taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son, but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our rapture, when Jesus we see." Oh Lord, we want that day to glorify you. And it'll be so much better if we listen to your word in verse 12 of chapter 1 of the Epistle of James. In the context of life, if we had chosen, if we would choose to resist the temptations that come our way and endure the trials, it's worth it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.